No, let me talk. You've been talking. It looks like you are the only one who has a point. What I mean by that, you know, when we willfully and purposely deny all these facts, there'll be no solution. The only solution is we have to go back to history to know where we are and where we are from and where we are and where we are heading to. Historically, we are giving possession to the people who has no historical connection to that land. These people are Arabs. They are, the land of Israel belongs to the Jews, not to the Arabs. And even before
Yusuf, let me interrupt you for a second. I'll let you continue because I'm fascinated by how you reach this standpoint, shall I say.
What do you mean they
are Arabs? Does that mean that they are not Palestinians? Is that your point?
They are Palestinians. When we say Palestinian, this is a different thing. And the only way we can know who are Palestinians, we have to go back to history. Palestinians are a different people. We know in 585 BCE they are...
We don't have enough time to bog ourselves down in 585 BC. Let's try instead 2014 AD, where there are 13 million Palestinians, millions of them under occupation. Listen to me, and then I'll let you back in. There are 13 million Palestinians, millions of them under occupation and siege, but most of them outside of the land, living as refugees. That is a fact. It's a clear and present threat to the existence of what they call Israel. Otherwise, Israel would have no problems and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So these real, live 13 million Palestinians either live in Palestine or are demanding the right to return to Palestine. What are you going to do about it, Yusuf?
No, I ask you this simple question. Why are they not speaking Arabic if they are Palestinians? Because I know Palestinians are different people, like when we say Chinese. So why are they speaking Arabic now when they are Palestinians? Why are they not speaking Palestinian language?
There is no Palestinian language. The Palestinian language
that's
is...
Why you, that's why I
the Palestinian language
problem.
Is Arabic.
No, George,
but Yusuf,
you
get your nose out of your ancient books. I'm talking to you not about 565 BC, but about 2014 AD. What are you going to do about the millions of Palestinian Arabs who speak Arabic, who are Christian and Muslim? What are you going to do about them?
Excuse me, George. Michael, it's very sad.
I think that's the heavens crying, Yusuf. Nobody can take much more of your obscurantism. Attend to your baby, please, because there are many crying children in Palestine, some of whom were killed just yesterday as Netanyahu's rage at the unity agreement reached between Hamas and Fatah was played out in the media. Israel immediately launched its airstrikes, which killed and maimed many, most of them children, in the northern part of Gaza. These were real people, by the way. They weren't pretending to be speaking Arabic. They really do speak Arabic. They really do consider themselves to be Palestinian. The world, overwhelmingly, with the exception being Yusuf in Germany, consider them to be Palestinian Arabs. International law considers them to be Palestinian Arabs. And something has to be done about them. Let's talk to Julina, who's in Reading, on the same subject. George, Julina, welcome.
It's Julian. You've got a dyslexic switchboard tonight.
Evidently, I do, and I apologize for that.
No,
go ahead, Julian.
Good to speak to you again. Look, I didn't know whether to talk about the Ukraine tonight or Israel, and then I remembered the link between the two, which is that the forces that occupy Palestine are in league with the forces that would like to occupy Ukraine and Crimea, because they've got a common agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You with me on that one?
I am. Go ahead.
As for advice to the people of Crimea, I would like to advise in particular the Tatar people, who are a specific ethnic group, possibly with their own aspirations for independence and autonomy. Don't be surprised when the Western imperial powers come and offer you weapons. And when they do, don't make a pact with the devil. Don't make the same mistake that other people have made.
Good point, Julian. The Tatars are a Turkic people who are Muslim and who live mainly in what is now the Crimean Autonomous Republic of the Russian Federation. And the Russians would be well advised to grant that people the autonomy that they would like and deserve, for fear of the demand for autonomy becoming a demand for independence. Because, as you rightly say, the devil will find work for such hands. And the devil, in the form of the United States and Britain and the other Western countries who couldn't give a damn about the Tatars until a few months ago, indeed had never heard of the Tatars until a few months ago, will soon be telling us, you'll soon be seeing documentaries about the plight of the poor Tatars. But you don't see any documentaries about the plight of the Rohingya people in Burma. They are a Muslim people who have lived in Burma for centuries, but who are now being subject to a genocidal campaign of actual physical elimination, massacred and driven from their ancestral lands. And the Western media and the Western governments have absolutely nothing to say about it except this. They're lining up to do business with the military junta in Burma that they formerly excoriated. And guess who's working now for that military junta? The aforementioned Tony Blair. Julian, good call. Sorry about the mistake on your name.
Thanks, Georgina.
Muhammad Malik is in the UK. He asks, what is the biggest threat to Israel? Go ahead, Muhammad, tell me.
Oh, hi. Good evening, George.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Right. Both things I would like to discuss with you. With first of all, I've actually emailed you on your email address at the Parliament to say that in North Ilford, if you could have a candidate.
Oh, Mohammed, we can't talk about that on the air, please.
Right. Okay. Well. Anyway. Okay. I'll email you again. Anyhow. Well, but first of all, there's a situation in Ukraine.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, first of all, with the situation in Ukraine, everybody knows that this was done by the US and EU. And even now, if you listen to any words from Obama or Kerry or Cameron or even Haig, they just rant on and on and on. Where if you, I listened to Sergey Lavrov's interview yesterday on RT.
Yes, he was very impressive, wasn't he?
Yes, and I've listened to Putin's as well, and they are true diplomats. They are not ranting and raving like little school children in the playground. And it's going to be a terrible situation because the West and US really want all their NATO forces right on
Russia's borders, yeah. That's the core of this problem, yes. Mohammed. And it started in 2002 with the move in Georgia to effectively threaten Russia's national security.
Yeah. And at the same time, they're trying to do the same thing towards China because now Obama has gone over there to say to Japan, oh, we will fight with you if China decides to claim any territorial claim on these islands. So they're obviously gearing up towards China and Russia because they...
Well, they'd be very unwise, though, Mohammed, because they couldn't even successfully occupy Afghanistan against men in their bare feet with Kalashnikovs and nothing but their patriotism driving them forward, not fighting for money, but fighting because a foreign enemy had occupied their country. And they have thrashed the NATO occupation armies, such that the NATO occupation armies effectively withdrew from the battlefield to the barracks and are now in the process of scuttling out of the country. And the politicians who sent the armies there are keen not to talk about the ignominious failure of the occupation of Afghanistan, which cost hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayers' money in all the countries of the participating countries. So if you can't win in Afghanistan, how are you going to make war on Russia and China? So it's an absurd idea, Mohammed. There will be no war. There will be no hot war on Russia and China. And incidentally, and lastly, because I have to go for the break in a minute, there is no question that the encirclement of Russia, the encirclement of China, and the encirclement of Iran lies at the root of this problem. Let's take Iran, which is surrounded by the largest U.S. military base in the whole world in Qatar, where U.S. military and naval assets move around at will in the Persian Gulf. In Bahrain, the U.S. Fifth Fleet is in occupation of a country which is itself in occupation. And the NATO member, Turkey, the military forces that the United States still maintains in Afghanistan, all of these are guns pointed at Iran. They tried to do the same with China and with Russia. I believe they're playing with fire, and some of that fire has caught on the ground in Ukraine this very day. The question is, are we all going to be burned in this conflagration? Now, we're talking Ukraine, and we're talking Palestinian national unity. I have to go for just 3 minutes for a short news bulletin. So please don't go away. God willing, I'll be here 3 minutes from now with the second half of Comment. Until then, enjoy the news.